Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Well, from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Does one vote really make a difference? Where do partnerships and mutual respect get you in the public arena? How do you get along with legislators that do not agree with your position and still make progress? Eva Andrade, President and CEO for Hawaii Family Forum, joins us today to share her insights and her story. You have a story, dear friend, and that's why we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus. Eva has experienced what it means to have a relationship with Christ. Suzanne has, I have. And Christ has made a difference in our lives. You know, Christ loves you so much. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried. You know what? 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ calls you, dear friend, calls you to himself. And he calls you not only in the good times, he calls you in those challenging times. He calls you in those difficult moments. He calls you in the midst of pain and suffering and regret. Oh, you say, Danny, I'll clean my act up first before I come to the Lord. Dear one, none of us can clean ourselves up like we need to be before we come to the Lord. That's why Christ died for us. He makes it possible for us to have a relationship with God. So would you put your faith and trust in Jesus? That's our hope. That's our prayer. You know, Hawaii Family Forum, HFF, it's a nonprofit organization dedicated to strengthening Hawaii's families. Eva Andrade has assisted people of faith in Hawaii by providing research and education on a variety of issues important to the community. Before coming to Hawaii Family Forum, Eva worked for 8 years at the Hawaii Catholic Conference, the public policy arm for the Roman Catholic Church in the state of Hawaii. She's been involved in the defense of the family on such high-profile issues as marriage protection, the protection of children, and doctor-assisted suicide. Eva has 2 granddaughters and 4 grandchildren. Eva, welcome to our show.
Oh, mahalo. Thank you so much for having me.
Where did you grow up?
I am a Pearl City girl. I was actually born in Germany because my dad was in the military at the time. But I came back when I was 3 years old and I have not left the island since.
Who influenced you most, Eva, in your growing up years?
My mother, which is a very interesting thing. My mother, my grandfather is a Pentecostal minister. And so my grandmother grew up in a Pentecostal church, knowing Jesus. And when she married my dad and they came back to the islands here, my mother never lost that fervor and that zeal to serve a living Savior and a living God. So even though I was raised here in Hawaii and raised in the Catholic Church, I knew that there was more to Jesus than just words on a book.
Mm-hmm. How did you become a Christian, experience that personal relationship with God?
My mother, as a strong woman of faith, always talked about Jesus as if he was right there in the room. You know, he was a living, breathing attribute in our family. And so even though it seemed going to church on Sundays, it was kind of a Catholic thing. It was more to me. It was more personal. And I was bullied a lot in grade school. And being Haole, growing up in Hawaii, that was back in the days when people would actually fear going to school on the last day of school because of Kilauea Haole Day. Mm. And I never understood that because the Lord birthed in me from a very young age this desire to reach out to broken people. And so I was one of those people that if I saw a girl or a boy being bullied or picked on, I was always trying to reach out to them, in spite of the fact that I myself was experiencing horrendous bullying. And the reason that I was bullied, I want to open up my heart a little bit here, is when I was a very young girl, I got a very high fever, and my permanent teeth were horribly disfigured. And so when I was going to school, the kids would, they were just very mean, the things that they would say to me. And I always felt like, Lord Jesus, there's more to me than what's on the outside. And there was a deep desire for me to reach out to anybody who was hurting. Now, of course, you know, fast forward all these years, and cosmetics do a great thing to hide all of those brokenness. But we're all sitting here with things that have hurt us as children, mm-hmm. and we carry it with us. And the only way we can release this pain is to reach out to a living Savior who can take us through these hard times and bring us to the perfect creation He made us.
Eva, how has your relationship with Jesus made a difference in those moments of brokenness?
Without Jesus, I think I would be dead today. The bullying in high school got so bad sometimes that I would imagine myself committing suicide. Now, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior in the 1970s. So in high school, I knew who He was. He was a personal and dear friend. And yet there were times I was so isolated, and I couldn't understand why He makes broken vessels. Or at least that's, you know, in my teenage years, that's what I felt like. And right out of high school, I went into the military. And I was still a broken young lady, even though I knew Jesus. I relied on His strength to get through a lot of tough things. I was in the United States Air Force, and I married the first guy that showed me attention. And after about a year and a half of marriage, he actually came out of the closet and said he was a homosexual and sent me and our young daughter back here to Hawaii. And it was actually during that time when I realized how powerful this living Savior was. Because in spite of the fact that I would look at myself in the mirror and I would see this broken vessel, I felt like there was something greater, that the Lord was pulling me to something that I didn't understand and something that I didn't feel that I could ever do. And yet I knew the pull was there. And in those dark moments, I would reach out to the Savior and I would cry out and I would say, Lord, I'm here. Send me, send me. And here it is again, fast forward all these years, and I realized the Lord was preparing me to be at the Capitol to talk about issues because it affects real people. Mm-hmm. They're not just a bill at the legislature. These are real people with real stories.
Someone today, Eva, is riding in a car. Their mom, dad is listening to you on the radio. They're hearing your voice. And they just got bullied in school today. They don't talk too much about it. They have very mixed feelings about it. They might not know what to say about it. What would you say to a young person right now who's going through, as they listen to you, they're like, she knows what I feel like. What would you say?
I would tell them that there is someone who is listening to them, someone who sees them, someone who's holding them, someone who's walking with them, someone who loves them so much that He carved their name on the palm of His hand, and He has a plan and He has a purpose. And it may not feel that way right now, but trust me, there is a living Savior who is your friend, your Savior, your confidant, and it's someone that can provide you the strength you need to get past all of those horrible voices.
What did you wish back then, or in moments of reflection, wish that mom or dad or uncle or auntie or someone would have done something, said something to you, if that could have helped you make it through, something tangible, maybe something that God, you wished that God could have sent someone to say something or do something? What would those things have been?
You know, I think He did. You know, I had a wonderful dad who would hold my face in his hands, and he would say, you're my beautiful, precious daughter. And I had a mother who totally would remind me of this precious design that I was in the Lord Jesus. I didn't see it then. I didn't understand it then. But the Lord constantly was sending the right people. He sent good friends to me in seventh grade and eighth grade that we still keep in contact with. And even to this day, my ex-husband and I were very good friends. He still lives in that lifestyle, and we disagree on where that lifestyle may lead him at the end of his life. But at the same time, my heart belongs to Jesus. And because my heart belongs to Jesus, I will give it freely to anyone who asks.
And you have been so gracious and so free to share such a tender part of your life. Dear one, as you listen today, mom or dad, grandma, grandpa, auntie or uncle, you know that your child or your nephew or niece or grandson or granddaughter is hurting. You might not quite know exactly what it is. They may not be saying everything to let you know the fullness of what's happening. If you know something's there, you may need to be like Mr. Andrade and grab your child. Well, wrap your gentle hands around their cheeks and look them straight in the eye and tell them how precious they are. They're hearing other messages, but your message needs to be clear. And it means something when it comes from mom or dad, someone influential in their life like that. Look right in their eyes. Tell them how beautiful. Oh, dear child, you're beautiful, beautiful. Young man, you are handsome and you are strong. And God is going to use you. Oh, those words would bring life. Those words can save a life. Save a life. When we come back, more from Eva Andrade, President and CEO for Hawaii Family Forum. A special time. You don't want to miss this. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chanan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
It is indeed Christ working, moving powerfully in the life of someone who knows what it's like to struggle, who knows what it's like to have her heart broken and have people look at her, and yet Christ has given her assurance. I'm talking about what the Lord has done through the life of Eva Andrade, and you think of how the Lord is using her now as president and CEO of Hawaii Family Forum. She's with us today. Danny Yamashiro here. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer. Thank you for joining us today. If you'd like to find out more about Hawaii Family Forum, go to hawaiifamilyforum.org. And perhaps you're tuning in and you just caught the tail end of the last segment and you want to hear the program in its entirety, you can certainly do that for free, free podcast. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. And as I typically say, go ahead and share it with a family member or friend. We're going to take a moment now and listen to this clip from hawaiifamilyforum.org, Eva Andrade addressing a question: why we need to vote.
So, I'm planning to vote. Are you?
Nah, I don't vote. Christians shouldn't get involved in politics.
Says who? Not God. The Bible says, choose for your tribes wise, understanding, and experienced men. God wants us to choose leaders who will make decisions based on biblical principles. If Christians won't vote for the good of America, who will?
Well, I don't like either candidate, and the one that I really like isn't even in the running.
Hey, no one in authority is perfect, but there's always a better choice. Pray about it and vote the better choice.
Listen, I can't be bothered to vote. Our country's a big mess, and it's not going to get any better whether I vote or not.
Have you ever read a history book? How do you think things get changed in our country? They get changed in the voting booth. Voting is not only our right, it's our responsibility.
Hey, voting is a waste of time. My one vote doesn't make a difference.
Did you know there are 90 million Christians who are eligible to vote? Take your one vote based on biblical values and multiply it by millions of other votes based on biblical values. And what do you get? You get a landslide. It starts with that one vote, yours. And don't forget that some elections have been decided by just a few hundred votes. Without your one vote, an important race could be lost.
But I can't even get to the polls on election day, so it doesn't matter if I want to vote or not.
Well, maybe there's someone out there who can help you get to the polls. Will anyone out there help a senior citizen, or someone who's handicapped, or needs a babysitter, or doesn't have transportation, or doesn't know where their polling place is? Anyone? Yes, I see those hands. Go ahead and offer to help.
All right, I'm sold. I think I'll vote after all. Thanks. Hey, I'm planning to vote. Are you?
Aloha, I'm Eva Andrade with Hawaii Family Forum. And in November, you're going to be able to do something that many people only dream about, and that's electing our national and local leaders. We want to provide you with the resources to do that. So visit us on the web at www.hawaiifamilyforum.org. And remember to vote on November 8th, 2016, for your ohana, your keiki, and your values. Mahalo.
So, Eva Andrade, does one vote really count?
My goodness, yes. When Jesus gave up his life on the cross, it was one life, but it made an unbelievable difference. So one life for many lives, one vote for our future, yes.
You know, Eva, if we can maybe dig a little bit deeper along those lines, people, for example, are completely outraged by the way that our campaign, the campaigning is going on. It really does seem like things have gone unhinged from both parties from a presidential standpoint. And when one really does think about how they are one person, I can see how someone may feel that way. So how would we, you know, convince someone practically that it really does matter, that they get involved, that they make it to the polls, or for that matter, not only they go to the polls, but if someone needs help, to help someone get there?
We have to remember that an election is a flash in the pan. what happens on election day, it's one vote, one moment. But as that person, whoever they are, takes that swore, they swear that oath into office, they are going to steer this country for the next 4 years. And the appointments that this particular candidate is going to bring to the Supreme Court is going to be something that's going to affect us in perpetuity, because our Supreme Court justices, as you know, they can serve many, many years. Mm-hmm. Many people are waiting for the appointment to take the place of Justice Scalia. So one of the first things this president, whoever is elected, is going to do is to replace Justice Scalia. And that is going to have implications on us, our faith, our children, our churches, our pastors, and our community. So to sit this one out is almost like sitting on a hill and watching a tidal wave coming in and then saying, well, there might have been people standing there near the ocean, but it really doesn't affect me, so I'm safe up here.
Hmm. So really, we don't have... We can't sit this one out. We can't bypass this.
We should never sit out an election, because there were many people who fought and died to vote. The African American community had to wait many, many years to be able to cast a vote. Women had to wait many, many years to cast a vote. So I think that every time we go into the voting booth, there is an act of worship that takes place. In gratefulness for this great country that we are a part of, that our family members who came over from all the different places in the world, they lost their lives. We have stories, all of us have stories of our parents coming from these different places. And what would our family, if they were living today, what would they say if they saw their family member sitting on the side and saying, well, I just don't feel like voting this election. Mm-hmm. And for our family service members who fought and died in the war, you know, I think that voting is, it's more than a flash in a pan.
Why did you choose a career in sharing public policy?
That's a really good question. I appreciate that question. When my mother was pregnant with me, she had... something was wrong with one of her inner uterus or something. I'm not quite sure exactly what it was, but she was in serious, serious pain. And her doctor had wanted her to abort. And she was a strong woman of faith, and she didn't do that. So she suffered through her pregnancy with me. And when I was born, I'm the only daughter she had. I have three brothers and no sisters. And she constantly asks herself, what would have happened if she would have aborted the one daughter that she had? Also, in my young age, and this all ties in my young age, the abortion debate was very hot and heavy here in Hawaii. And as a young girl, I remember some of the Catholic leaders saying it's not going to pass because the governor was Catholic. And there were people that thought he might veto the bill. Fast forward all these years, and I think that the Lord was lining me up to fight for life, to fight for family, to fight for religious freedom. Why? Because I experienced the brokenness of each and every aspect of that. And when I close my eyes in death, I want to hear the Lord say to me, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your eternal reward, because I don't feel that reward here. You know, doing public policy is not one of those jobs where people constantly call you up and say, hey, good job, we're proud of you. We don't get a lot of great accolades doing this job. But if I can make a difference for one, just one, then I know that I'm where the Lord wants me to be.
Eva, how and when did you get involved with Hawaii Family Forum?
In 2001, at the time I was working for the Hawaii Catholic Conference, doing this very same thing. And Kelly Rosati calls me and she says, you know, we're getting ready to lose an employee, Lena Ala Drummond, a fabulous employee for Hawaii Family Forum, was moving on to do something bigger in missionary work. And she said, we need you. And I thought, wow, you know, I'm just a born-again Catholic girl. You know, what could I possibly bring to the evangelical community? And I remembered a dream that I had as a 13-year-old, and I shared the dream with my mom. And I had this dream. I was on a bridge, and there was a bunch of Catholic people on one side of the bridge and a bunch of my evangelical Protestant brothers on the other side of the bridge. and I woke up and I was kind of struck by the dream, and I shared it with my mom, and she said, well, you know, just write it down. If it's something that's coming from the Lord, you will, it'll make sense later. And I remember when Kelly called me and asked me to do this, Bishop DiLorenzo at the time said, you know, Eva, take the job and we'll form a partnership, the only partnership in the nation between the evangelicals and the Catholics. And boom, the dream came back to me. And I remember that the Lord was preparing me even then to stand on this bridge. And it's a bridge of brotherhood. It's a bridge of people standing in faith, arm in arm, to fight for one thing. And that's for our religious freedom.
Beautiful. Thank you, Eva.
What lessons has the Lord taught you?
It's not about me. The biggest message. If this was up to me and my goodness, I definitely wouldn't be in this job. I'm human. I'm broken. I'm a work in progress. And I look around, and the biggest thing the Lord keeps telling me is it's about us. It's about you. It's about me. It's about the Lord's children. It's about us coming together as family.
There is a clarity in the way that you articulate. And I sense that it comes from a very deep place in you. There is a special reservoir, as it were, within you, within your heart and soul, a sense of awareness, self-awareness, a grace given by God, knowing why you're here for this time that He has prepared you. When we come back, let's talk about some challenges that you might be facing today, and how you see the unique position of Hawaii Family Forum, and beyond that, the other special organizations across the country that are working in some very tough conditions, but still have hope to make a difference, and indeed are doing so. More with Eva Andrade when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kari Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kari Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, it's very easy to say and sound important, saying something like, talking about the issue of shaping public policy. But of course, you know, there's so much more beneath the surface of what goes on to make that happen. And we have someone who knows what it's like and has been in there, in the thick of things, as it were, of influencing and doing her best organizationally, even in shaping public policy. Her name is Eva Andrade. She's the president and CEO of Hawaii Family Forum. You can find out more about Hawaii Family Forum at hawaiifamilyforum.org. Danny Yamashiro here, my co-host Suzanne Maurer, Eva Andrade in studio with us today. Eva, recently Matt Kaufman of Focus on the Family wrote an article entitled "What to Do When Your State is Blue," and you were featured in Hawaii. Democrats outnumber Republicans 44-7 in the House and 24-1 in the Senate. And you said, we're constantly swimming upstream. What do you do to make progress in such an unbalanced political environment?
I think all we can do right now is to build relationship with the legislators who may not necessarily agree with us on the issues so that we can start sharing things heart to heart. And once we can do that, then the Holy Spirit can enter in and begin to build bridges and bring reconciliation and healing. And in our state, that's the only way we're going to begin to make inroads.
What is Hawaii's biggest pro-family success story?
One of our biggest ones was that because of Hawaii Family Forum, the age of consent in Hawaii was raised from 14, we were the lowest in the nation, to 16. And I have to say it was because of the ongoing passion and commitment of Kelly Rosati, who was like a dog on a bone and would not let go. And I had just been hired to work with Kelly at the time, and it was amazing to see that you would think something as simple as this, raising the age of consent to 14 and 16, wouldn't have been such a big battle. But we were up against Planned Parenthood. We were up against the prosecuting attorney, the defense attorney's office. We had so many people against us, the police department in the beginning. But it was because a lot of people, when you think about Hawaii's culture at that time, there are girls maybe 16, 17 who are dating boys that are 5 years or so older than them. And so I think people were worried that this was going to go down a whole different road than what our intent was. And that was to protect 14 and 15-year-old girls from sexual exploitation. And Kelly, that year that it was finally raised, was nominated as one of the 10 most influential people of the year because of her work. And that definitely is a success story. Also, what it does is it dispels the myth and the rumor that Hawaii Family Forum only cares about same-sex marriage. That was a big issue for us, and of course we were out there a lot. But the truth is, we're Hawaii Family Forum because we care about the family.
What have you learned in the process of the recent happenings with physician-assisted suicide?
You know, the interesting thing, what I'm seeing, and it comes full circle, is what's really happened here is the destruction of the family. When the family unit is strong, you don't have abortions, you don't have poverty, you don't have domestic violence. You have this cohesive unit of people that will fight against any bad thing that could come against them. And with assisted suicide, the sad thing is that the message that we're saying is that it's okay to check out when life gets a little tough. And if it's okay for someone at the end of their life to take this pill to end it all, then why would we turn then and tell a teenager that it's not okay? The message of suicide is a dangerous message because all life is precious, and everyone, every moment of their life, every breath that they take, there's a plan and a purpose for them.
So what were some of the important lessons that you learned in the process as you worked with legislators and worked with other groups, some groups that may be unexpected for some to hear that you worked with to, you know, make inroads in some of the formation of policy language and those things?
One of the biggest lessons was that you can't always go down to the Capitol and threaten legislators that they're going to go to hell. You know, living in this state, you know, people, especially people of faith, we get very frustrated because we see that there's this morality that is being raised above our biblical values, and it bothers us, and it creates a deep anger inside of us, and we feel like we're being tossed aside. You know, when voices like Mitch Kale get prayer taken out of the Capitol, you know, they get angry. But one of the biggest lessons is, if you go to the Capitol and you yell at the legislators, the first thing out of your mouth is that they're going to hell or it's something negative, you lose that opportunity to connect with them. And they have to see that your heart is coming from a good place. If they hear and understand and believe that what you are saying is coming from your heart, even legislators who are dead set against us on the issue will sit down and they will hear what we have to say.
You found that. You've experienced that.
I have, because I've been doing this for a number of years, I wasn't always the lobbyist. Obviously, when I was working for Kelly, she was. So the lobbying aspect of my job is more new in the last few years. But what I've seen is some of the legislators, when I used to go in and sit down and be, you know, hello, I'm Eva Andrade with Hawaii Family Forum. They already knew. You could see their eyes would glaze over, like, oh, here they are. You know, it's those crazy right-wing fanatics. But what started to happen is now, this last session, I have to say that legislators who before would roll their eyes when I'd walk in, they'd actually smile at me. Two legislators in particular, women, who I'm sure they just are, would just go nuts whenever they'd see my name on a testimony. I make it a point when I'm testifying to look them right in the eyes and smile and build that relationship and rapport with them. And now I'm seeing that the smile is starting to come in their eyes as well. You know, we're not going to sit down and go and have Starbucks together. Probably not. But I think that the Lord is beginning to do a mighty work. And this is where restoration comes in. This is where reconciliation comes in. Because if we say yes to the Lord and we walk into these situations that we think are hopeless, that's when Jesus can do a mighty miracle. And that's when we step aside and he steps in. And that's when change happens.
Eva, you know, in that same article, along the lines of what you're describing, would take it a little further. But in that same article by Matt Kaufman, he quoted Nicole Theis from the Delaware Family Policy Council, who said, quote, "People who are political campaign-minded tend to be really good in sprints, but for reach." Change for change to happen, it takes a different mindset, the mindset of missionaries. Our situation could take generations to change. So how does that resonate with you?
She is speaking the truth, and I agree with her 100%. And Nicole, I know her personally. She's a fabulous lady. Her heart is definitely for the changing of her community as well as it is here for me in Hawaii. And I agree with her because we know we're in it for the long haul. You know, I sit here and I think that it may not never be me. It may not be me at the Capitol one day that looks and I see a balanced legislature, half Republican and half Democrat, but I know that I will have made the way a little easier for someone who comes after, and I'm okay with that.
You see, I think we need to be reminded about that change takes time. When points of contention come up, everyone rallies together. People swell up, people get vocal, people, but then after things subside, you know, again, who continues to build? When she used that imagery of, or that analogy of the missionary mindset, you know, missionary, those long-term missions, we recently had a missionary in West Africa, 43 years working on a Bible translation, you know, but again, it's going to impact, in the future, it's going to impact millions. So when you say it resonates, what do you hope someone listening today would get, would catch, if it's something to be caught? What would you hope that they catch?
That change begins with a choice, and that in this moment, right here and right now, everybody has the choice to either move forward and help to take this state back for Jesus, or they can choose to sit it out. And right now, I pray that whoever is listening is being motivated by the Spirit of God to take that step forward.
Now, in light of this, have you experienced, because I also sense that, particularly in Hawaii, there is maybe an unspoken consensus, and I'll just say it might come across rather blunt, but I think there's a consensus that if you are a Republican, if you're a Christian, you must be a Republican. And on the other hand, though, have you come across those who are Christian who are also Democrats?
Absolutely. There are some legislators that are strong people of faith that are associated with the Democratic Party. It's harder to be that way when you're considered conservative and a Democrat, because there are platforms, and a lot of people don't realize that when a candidate is running for office, they do have to follow the platform. A good example of that is the Planned Parenthood resolution that was passed by this past legislature. If you look and see, many of the Democrats that were excused, that were not there on the moment of vote, was maybe because they personally did not appreciate that resolution, but they don't want to go on record and be in opposition to their party. Mm-hmm. So it is important that people realize that you're a Christian first, and then your political party, it comes from your faith. Mm-hmm. So it's from that lens that we make our decisions when we go to the polls.
What a point of contention for a legislator. Eva, you, like I said, you're in the middle of it. You, not many are able to speak from your perspective, and that's why it means so much to have you with us today. When we come back, I think that there are points of passion that just flow right out of you. But when we come back, would you mind sharing some things that really make you feel rewarded in what you do? Sort of, how does Eva Andrade keep getting her gas tank refilled? Because I think in life, there are times in various points of people's lives where they just feel like they're running out of gas, whatever their career might be. So this is more of a general application. And then your favorite scripture verse, and why that verse has meant so much to you. That and a little bit more, maybe as the Lord leads, a time that we can join together in prayer for our listeners and for people who are making tough decisions. More with Eva Andrade when we come back. Stay with me.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chanan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
It does happen to all of us. You know, those moments when you just feel weary. You feel weary in maybe in your career. Maybe you just feel weary in life and you think, man, I'm really running low. Well, certainly maybe a good night's sleep, maybe regulating our sleeping schedules, those things, maybe a good meal or maybe a better diet as we go along. Some practical things, but really, how do we keep going? You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Thanks for joining us today. Eva Andrade with us, along with my co-host Suzanne Maurer. You can find out more about Hawaii Family Forum at hawaiifamilyforum.org. Eva, what fills your gas tank in your life and career, when you begin to feel empty?
I have a couple of things. The one thing about getting your gas filled up at the station, you want to make sure that you may have a favorite station that you go to, but it's really important that you keep your car filled with gas. And so in my case, first of all, it's the faith and love of my parents. My mom and dad are strong believers, and they keep me in line. My dad and mom, they're both never afraid to tell me if they think that I'm veering from the right or the left. So they definitely keep me on the right track. And then, of course, I have very close, dear friends that pray with me, cry with me, laugh with me. And the other thing that is just a blessing to me is Alan Cardenas, who works with me at Hawaii Family Forum. He is a pastor. And the Lord gave Alan this ability to just say the right things at the right time. And I think that the Lord uses Alan a lot when I feel like I want to throw in the towel. And trust me when I say that happens a lot, that I just keep asking the Lord, why me? Why here? Why now? And maybe you need to bring someone in that's more strong, or someone who's more vocal, or someone who's this or that. And I always hear this still voice saying that for just a time as this, right here, right now, you're the one. And I think Alan keeps me grounded spiritually. And also the pastors. I have a lot of pastor friends in various churches that will call me and just say, hey, I'm praying for you. They, especially when they get our e-news, sometimes they can tell by what I'm writing where I'm at. And that's been a big blessing for me as well.
And Danny, over the break, I was sharing with Eva a message that I think is so important for our listeners, because throughout this time with Eva today, she shared how God has prepared her all along the way, and He does that.
Yes.
He's a preparatory Father, and so throughout her life, that preparation for where she is today. Eva, do you have a favorite scripture that you could share with us?
I do. I actually have two. The first one, obviously, is Psalm 139. The Lord knit us together in our mother's womb. As a Portuguese girl raised knowing how to crochet, I know how precious that is to take that time to take this wonderful material that the Lord gives you and turn it into something beautiful. But the scripture that moves me and motivates me is Micah 6:8. For what does the Lord require of you but to love justice and to seek mercy and to walk humbly with your God? That scripture is the one that every day motivates me to do what I do.
Thank you.
Why, Eva? Why does it motivate you so much?
Well, I'm one of the people that when I read scriptures, I take it literally. And it says, what does the Lord require of you? And so the Lord requires me to seek justice and to love mercy. And he requires me to walk humbly. And because of that, I mean, who am I to say no? Because if it's not me, then who? And if it's not now, then when? And Alan, if you're listening to this, you know that that's one of your favorite things that you like to remind me. That's what we need to remember. And the other thing, too, is I forgot to mention him, and I definitely don't want to let this moment slide, but Bishop Larry Silva has been one of my biggest supporters. He is deeply a man of prayer, and he knows the ins and outs of all the heartache of this job. And I will tell you that Bishop Larry prays every day for the legislators and other pastors, and his heart is also for unity in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about heartache, share with us, if you would, maybe one of those things that really creates some heart pangs in the work that you do.
Witnessing the broken families, as someone who myself has a broken family, I have four daughters and I am divorced, and I have to walk with the pain of the choices I've made in my life. And I see these young kids and they're weeping for a father. You know, what have happened? What has happened to the daddies? You know, there are daddies that are not involved in their children's lives, and there are daddies that have chosen to do other things than to help with the upbringing of their children. And you know, and there are mommies that are hurting and struggling because they're trying to do the best they can as a single mom, and this was not what the Lord desired for families.
What would you say to someone in a broken family going through a really rough time right now?
I would encourage them to take a moment in their brokenness and to come to the foot of the cross, because there is a Savior who can bring restoration. And the restoration may not be what we want or what we desire, but he knows the greatest thing that we need. And if we come to him in brokenness and humility, and we bring to him our broken families, he may be able to heal it if that's his will. And if it's not his will is to have us healed and have us whole so that we can move forward in this path in our lives. And the other thing is to remember that everything that's happening to us, it's not just about us. Everything we do affects everyone around us. So the angry mother or the hurt father, there are children that are looking up and they're seeing the pain in their parents' eyes. And this is what we're teaching our kids. We're teaching our kids that it's okay to be angry and it's okay to cry. But the most important thing is to teach our kids to forgive. And they need to see us do it and be willing to do it, even in our brokenness. And also to admit that we're wrong. You know, how hard is it to just say, oh my goodness, I was wrong. I made a bad choice. Because if our kids see this in us, then they're going to be willing to do it in themselves. And this is a legacy that could last forever.
Eva, I think this is a perfect moment for a time of prayer. Would you be willing to pray for that dear friend, dear loved one right now who's going through a tough time, and pray for them?
Absolutely.
Please, lead us.
Dear Lord Jesus, we come before you now because we know that you are the bringer of hope. You are the one who was there in the beginning, and you shall be there at the end. Oh Lord, you have walked with us every step of our way. Lord God, every tear that we've cried, you have counted. Lord, every time we've smiled and laughed, you've been walking with us and you've heard the laughter. Oh, Father God, we just pour out our hearts to you now and we ask you to come into our lives and to heal our sadness. Oh, Lord Jesus, heal our wounds. Strengthen us, oh God, that we may walk forward in your calling and in your purpose. Oh, Lord, we know that when we put your name above all names and when we put ourselves before you, Lord God, that we are only going to do the things that are going to bring healing to this nation. Oh, Lord God, let this healing begin with us. With me, Lord God, as we hear your word right now, Lord, come into that deep secret part of us. Oh, Lord, touch that place that we are not always willing to show and bring your love, bring your mercy, and bring your light. All in the most precious and holy name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
Dear one, as you've heard as you've prayed, as you've heard Eva pray and prayed with her, as we've prayed together, know that we serve a God who loves us, and we serve a God who hears, and a God who answers prayer. The Lord has heard her prayer, and he's heard us joining together, really joining together in prayer for you and with you. Yes, the Lord loves you. And the Lord has sent her here to encourage you, encourage us, help us become much more aware of what's going on around us and within some of the inner workings of our political structure through Hawaii Family Forum. Eva, thank you so much. Thank you for being with us today. You've been such a blessing.
I think that I've been blessed far more than you, my brother.
Well, I have a warmth in my heart and a smile on my face, and I'm grateful for you. Thank you again, Eva.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed myself today.
Dear friend, I hope you've been moved, even as we have, by the story of Eva Andrade. You can find out more, again, at HawaiiFamilyForum.org. And, you know, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. We have a special presentation set up for you there. Joshua 24, verse 15 says, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Eva Andrade. Again, find out more at HawaiiFamilyForum.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.